Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, and we're going to do a Raw review today. First of all, let me just say thank you to everybody who's enjoyed our first week of daily shows. I'm really blown away by the downloads and the feedback. Thanks so much, guys. Of course, if you're just trying it, or it's your first time, or you've done it a couple times, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review while you're there, you know. And enjoy these daily episodes of Total Engagement. Today, we're going to do a Raw review, and I guess we can talk about some news. I think the big news today is that Anthem, the parent company for Impact Wrestling, may have went ahead and purchased AXS TV, which is the home of New Japan. And what does this mean? What does this mean for the industry? What does this mean for Impact? Steve Harvey is part of the team now that owns Impact. What does this all mean? Well, I don't know, and neither does anybody fucking else. So we're just going to have to wait and see until we get some more information before we can go ahead and talk about that one. But now, music. I wrote that shit. I played that shit. I hope you like it. It's the Raw Instant Reaction and Review Show. So the first thing they did was bring out Steve Austin for the contract signing between Braun and Seth Rollins. And I didn't really think that was a good use of Steve Austin from the outset, because why bring him in for a contract signing? What's he going to do in a contract signing? And how would it be interesting with Braun and Seth? I didn't see a chance of that. But I'd say, though, overall, with what happened with the club coming out and Stone Cold delivering a stunner to AJ Styles and AJ being on the very top of his game, I would say out of the 100 ways they could have used Stone Cold Steve Austin on Raw, I'd say this way was probably in the top 5%. So I'd probably give him an A+ on that segment. And I guess I'm grading segments. Styles was really great. I don't know how they could top this. And they really didn't, although the whole Raw was pretty damn good. Cedric Alexander defeated AJ Styles. A little bit more 50-50 booking type stuff. But at the same time, we're elevating Cedric Alexander, which I know a lot of people like to see. They also did a tease for the Firefly Funhouse, which I think is a good idea to plug something happening later in the show. Now we had the explosion of the four horsewomen. We had Charlotte and Becky versus Sasha and Bayley. And I got to tell you, first of all, like I said yesterday, I didn't dig it because there was no buildup, but I did dig it because it was cool to see that the four horsewomen were on equal standing again, meaning they're all the same, kind of the same hierarchy in the company right now, and they're higher than they've ever been. So they keep rising up, and now Bayley's up with them. She's not kind of the lost one anymore. At one time, it looked like Becky was the lost one, and of course, Sasha was gone for a while, but they're all together. They're all on equal ground. It was a match where the crowd was dead, and then they brought the crowd in. Let's not forget, we've had some botches, we've had some weird moments, but let's not forget, these four are four of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. I mean, really, in the top 10 American, I'll say American because I'm not really that aware of Japanese wrestling, but or even Mexican wrestling, but in America, WWE, WCW, ECW, mainstream American wrestling, if you had the top 10 women's wrestlers of all time, you'd be hard-pressed to not put all four of these in that top 10. Turned out to be a good match with a great finish, with Charlotte hitting the natural selection. Totally dug it. Thought Raw was off to a hot start. Rey Mysterio versus Gran Metalik. I would say this might not have been as great as people thought it could be. Rey Mysterio's a guy you bring out there now, and he says hi, he waves hi, he does his thing, and it's not spectacular usually throughout the match, but he's got, you know, moments where he's spectacular, and he holds his own with these younger guys like Metalik or Andrade. One significant moment was when Metalik just killed Rey. He did I don't even know what the move is, but he ran across the ring, jumped off the middle rope, and spun onto Rey, but he hit his head and neck like 50 times in that one move. It looked kind of brutal. Then we had kind of one of the highlights of the Raw, besides Austin, of course, Baron Corbin against Samoa Joe and Ricochet. And Baron Corbin won, and the crowd was digging Baron Corbin. Matter of fact, people on Twitter were digging Baron Corbin. Do you know why? Because fucking Baron Corbin's good. Baron Corbin has always been good. He hasn't always been great. And he hasn't always been put in the best positions. Like when he was GM, that wasn't taking advantage of his strengths. But guess what he got to do while he was GM? He got to work on his talking. And at the same time, the dude improves every time you see him in the ring. Every time. He's an NFL player, guys. He's a Golden Gloves boxer. Either one of those things is an elite athlete. Both of them? Dude's an elite athlete, and he gets better every single time. Matter of fact, when Ricochet and Corbin were in there together, you're just like, my God, these two. These two could be like at the top of the card, and these two could be kind of the future of the organization. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I think King Corbin is definitely going to happen. As I predicted, Corbin got the cheap victory. The three-way match was a great way of everybody kind of keeping face, but Corbin stealing the victory after a brutal 630 from Ricochet onto Samoa Joe. It didn't end perfectly, but it wasn't, it was still like really awesome looking, even though it looked a little botchy. Although I got to admit, that 630 always kind of scares me a little bit, because I just don't want Ricochet to undershoot it and get hurt. Natalya versus Lacey Evans. My Lacey Evans, on the surface, you would say she has really sunk far. And she lost. She lost to a submission 5 minutes in, and she's had her rough moments in the ring. But Lacey has the kind of upside Baron Corbin is. She reminds me of Baron Corbin a year or two ago when they knew they had something special. Might not be ready yet, but don't make too much of going to the main event, losing in 5 minutes. Right now, she's just getting experience. And also, WWE has a reputation of testing people. When they give them a big push, they give them a loss. See how they react to it. I believe and predict Lacey Evans will eventually take her place among the greats of all time in women's wrestling. She has it all. And if they ever have the guts, and they will eventually, to tap into her real life character, do some research on that shit. She was like on the military SWAT team. She was homeless. She's a single mom. And then kicked this Lifetime's ass. That's a great story. And I think it will be a great situation for her when the crowd turns her face eventually. And that story comes out. The Firefly Funhouse was kind of a whole lot of nothing. I think people expected him to have some involvement with Austin because Bray said something on Twitter that he might. And in the last couple weeks, you know, Firefly Funhouse, when it's been on, the ratings have gone down a little bit. I think we're reaching the point where people don't necessarily want to see Firefly Funhouse unless they see The Fiend, and they did not. Now, the 10-man tag match was Seth and Braun and Cedric and the Viking Raiders versus the team of Italian Stallion, Pez Watley. No, I'm joking. Against the team of AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode. It was like some awkward moments in the back, you know, when Ziggler and Roode are going up to him going, hey, y'all need some help? And they're like, cool. And then AJ and Ziggler did an obviously practiced handshake in this supposedly improvised moment. And I thought that was kind of funny. But at this time, the crowd reacted to two things. First of all, no matter how good the show was, and this was a good Raw, you can't out quality the 3 hours. You just can't put enough quality and enough good wrestling, enough good angles to make the 3 hours work. I don't think it's ever happened. If it's ever happened, let me know. Give me a good 3 hour Raw that you've experienced in your life. Go ahead and tweet me or email me at matt@mattcoon.com or, you know, whatever. Reach out to me on Facebook and tell me a great 3 hour Raw, because it's hard to do. And the fans got restless. They started doing the wave. But there's another factor involved too, and this is about the lack of stars. Now, this isn't me saying that with these 10 dudes, none of these guys can be stars, or none of these guys are stars in the sense that if they walk through airport, people know who they are, but in the sense where the fans were invested in what was going on in the ring. First of all, you should have a story, because if wrestling's nothing else, it's a worked fight to work out some kind of real life issues or real life angles or whatever. That's the whole point. It's never just this guy versus this guy. That's never been the wrestling that's been popular or, in my mind, great. And lacking that, you can get away with lacking that if you have stars in the ring, people that are treated like they're a big deal. In the right situation, Luke Gallows could be a huge star, but he's not treated like a huge star. Jesus, Carl Anderson, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, you know, AJ has his moments. But you need more than that in a 10-man, and the crowd got restless. And here's the indicator of why is that, and by the way, the wave. I've been in those New York crowds when the wave starts happening. There's no stopping. And we were also in a New York crowd when they showed the new Universal belt, and everybody shit on the belt the whole match. That belt sucks. That belt sucks. You know, Chance, when the New York crowds turn against you, they turn against you, and they turn against this match until the very end, where Cedric Alexander gets the pin over AJ Styles. Again, what I said yesterday, WWE's doing a lot right. They're very focused. They're putting on better shows, and they're elevating younger talent like AJ Styles, Buddy Murphy, Ali, and even a couple others if you pay attention. And Austin comes out. Instead of playing Cedric's music, Austin's music plays. He comes out, hands out some beers, does the beer bash. And the big problem here is when the old star, the retired star, comes out, he can't look like a bigger star than everybody else. He can't overshadow the other five guys in the ring put together. And that's a problem. I hope they're determined to work on that problem. We know WWE is not really anxious to create new stars that are bigger than the brand, but they need to if they want to make money. The Raw was good. Next week's rating will be better than this week. They're slowing down the decline. Things are turning around at a very slow rate. It's like a very slow economic recovery. I'm not sure if it's for real or not, but it was a good Raw. Once again, a lot of positives, but the negatives are it was a 3-hour Raw, and we need to treat the guys at the top of the card like they're at the top of the card. And hopefully we're at the top of your podcasting card every single day. Man, that was such a good transition. I blew it. Let me try it again. Well, hopefully we're at the top of your podcast listening card every single day on Total Engagement. You can listen while you're listening now. Why am I telling you why you're listening? It's late. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coombs.